Sunday in the suburbs, it means both the Sabbath and soccer. One day, worlds collide as an evangelical coach leads his 10-year-old charges in a post-game prayer. Parent Ruth Ramsey objects. She is the abstinence teacher of Tom Perrotta's new book of the same name. But who is this coach invoking Jesus at midfield? He's Tim Mason, recent convert, a former addict who's trying to figure out the ways of his new church, and his new wife, who was raised in the faith. Here, listen to Campbell Scott reading from the audiobook of The Abstinence Teacher.
On the way home that night, it occurred to Tim that he and Carrie had effectively grown up in different countries. At first, this seemed depressing to him, but after a while, he came to realize that it was helpful to think about their relationship in this way, and even oddly comforting. If she'd been a Japanese or Turkish woman, say, he wouldn't have expected her to know who Bad Company was, or to laugh at a passing mention of the Coneheads. He would have either explained the reference or told her that it wasn't important enough to worry about. But he wouldn't have been annoyed or troubled by her ignorance of something she had no reason to know about in the first place.
Tom Perrotta, author of Election, Little Children, and now The Abstinence Teacher, joins me. Thanks for giving us some time, Tom.
Oh, my pleasure, Mike.
Tell me about that little passage we read. Is that how you envisioned, or at least one way you thought about, the difference between secular America and Christian America?
Yeah, the book was written in the wake of the 2004 election, and I remember at that point really just having this feeling that two countries wasn't really just a metaphor, that really we're living in different realities, whether we were in red America or blue America. And what I wanted to do in the book was really try and illustrate that sense.
How much research did you do to make sure to get all the details right? And how much did you just want to rely on your own imagination?
Well, it's always some mixture. I think some writers will go out and do tons of research and then winnow it down. What I try to do is start with a character. And Tim Mason, the evangelical soccer coach in this book, could have walked out of my novel, The Wishbones. He's sort of a musician who has hit, a more responsible adult period of life and is really having trouble adjusting. He's had a drug problem, he's divorced, and kind of messed up his life pretty badly, and people have given up on him. And then this church takes him in, and this, particularly this very strong pastor, and makes him feel like his life is worth something, and they get him back on his feet. And so I think that once I started with Tim, then it really was a question of, well, what, the evangelical way of life is going to be difficult for him. What is going to be helpful for him? And so,
right, because you started with a guy who you recognized is sort of like saying, okay, what if I were an evangelical?
Exactly.
It was a frame of reference that you got to start off with.
Right. And in fact, in the course of my adult life, which has mostly taken place in secular liberal communities, I have run into a number of people who've been evangelical Christians, and in an inordinate number of them have been people who've had drug and alcohol problems and have been helped by their religious faith to deal with those. So I did know that kind of person, and I felt like it gave me a way into Tim, which is really all you need as a fiction writer. You just need a way in and a feeling of connection with a character, and then you can begin to develop them.
Have you had any reaction from evangelical readers?
It's actually been really good. I think in a funny way, some liberal readers have had maybe a little more problem because what they were hoping for was an election-like satire that, punctures the pretensions of evangelical Christians, when in fact the book, I think, really tries to deal in an even-handed way with both sides of the cultural divide.
I find that in all the books of yours that I've read, which is all of them but The Wishbones, on the scale of humanity, from heroic to loathsome, I find most of your characters are in the middle third. Is that how you think of people?
I've always been one of those writers who has insisted that in the course of an ordinary life, there's enough drama to power a good story or a good novel. And, I started with a book called Bad Haircut that follows this one kid, and it really looked at all these sort of mythic moments of childhood, whether it be getting your driver's license or going to the prom or, playing in a Pop Warner football game, and tried to develop moral dramas around just the choices that everyday people make in the course of their ordinary life. And that's really a kind of an article of faith for me.
There's another thing that somehow you're able to do. Maybe I could get you to talk about it if you even thought about it. You have your finger on the unglamorous aspects of life like no other writer I know. I mean, you can somehow evoke the itchiness of a shirt or a weird smell or just, I mean, when we think about our life's experiences, we edit out the fact that we were tired or hungover or things smelled bad, but somehow you're able to nail that sense. Is that something you work on, or is that like just how you experience life?
That's a really interesting thing, because I remember talking about this in college with a roommate of mine, and you know, noticing in, say, Henry James, you know, how ethereal everything was. You know, it was this high level of, you know, psychological speculation and articulate conversation. Yeah. Just, you know, no one's ever hungry, no one ever goes to the bathroom, no one's clothes don't fit right, you know. And it did strike me that, you know, one of the jobs of the fiction writer was to get as much of life as possible onto the page. And, you know, I do feel like most of our exalted moments are, you know, dragged down to earth by, you know, a little rock in your shoe or you know, the fact that you ate a little too much for dinner. So I do try to keep that in mind.
All right. Well, Tom, thanks a lot for your time. This is a very good book.
Thanks so much, Mike. It's great talking to you.
Can I borrow a copy of that book, or is it already gone back to the NPR library, otherwise known as Mike Pesca's living room?
You have it with my underlines.
All right. Thanks so much. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to another author who is also a journalist. Kevin Seitz spent a year in hot zones around the world. He'll be here in studio to talk about covering the war, what it does to you as a person and a journalist, and the state of journalism today.
A little over 40 years ago, the UK said to the U.S., meet the Beatles. Took us a long time. The U.S. is returning the favor. Meet the National Football League. It's the first time an NFL game, regular season game, is being played in the UK or anywhere other than North America. We'll talk about it on the Bryant Park Project.